1:24. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick with the wrath, when the wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. And the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Beginning with Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. That's 15 psalms. They are all called psalms of degrees. You'll see that heading over each of those psalms in most Bibles, or psalms of ascent. It indicates the superscription song of decrees tells us the function of these 15 psalms. That is the function of those to those in Israel. These songs were sung by groups of Israelites as they would make their journey to Jerusalem. They would go there to observe the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. And they're called Psalms of Degrees or Psalms of Ascent because you cannot go to Jerusalem without going up. So as these Israelites journeyed by foot, ascending the Judean mountains on their way to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs. Again, beginning with Psalm 120, going through Psalm 134. So they were songs of pilgrims going to the house of God to worship. As they sang these songs, their excitement would grow until they came to the final song, Psalm 134. And by the time they would sing Psalm 134, they would be standing in the sanctuary of the Lord. Notice Psalm 134. It says, behold, and again, you picture them in the house of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. So these psalms are designed to cause them to reflect upon the blessings of God in their lives. The Psalms contain things that would prepare them for worship. Worship is something that must be prepared for. If you do not prepare for it, you do not worship. It's as simple as that. And what the theme of these Psalms would greatly enhance their worship. And each of the Psalms contain God's blessings. It's a record of God's blessings upon them, which again was designed to fill their hearts with joy, fill their hearts with thanksgiving, fill their hearts with praise, fill their hearts with wonder, all which, of course, are necessary if we're going to worship the Lord. They're all designed to create and to feed a desire to worship the Lord. So again, as they're singing these psalms, as they're making their way to the house of God, it's what the purpose of them is to put them in a right frame of mind in order to worship. And we must be in a right frame of mind if we're going to worship. No one worships God in a wrong frame of mind. So these songs are designed to put them in a right frame. It's very similar to our song services. That's the purpose of a song service, is to put people in a frame of mind to worship. That's why people ought to be here when the song services start, because that's part of the worship service. And I'm not going to get off on that because we could be here a while. Reading through these psalms, we get the idea of the attitude and the condition of heart that is necessary to worship the Lord. The theme of all the psalms is God, and every single one of them. The theme is God, which reminds us, of course, that if we're going to worship, we have to keep God the center of worship. If worship is not all about God, then it's not worship. It ceases to be worship. All the psalms, all these psalms, give glory to God. So it shows us the preparation of heart that is necessary and essential to all true worship. Now, in the 124th Psalm, the theme is really established in the first two verses. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then it's repeated in verse 8 in a different way. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the theme of Psalm 124 is the Lord has made a difference in our lives. That thought ought to prepare us, ought to feed a desire to worship the Lord. That thought tells us that God wants His people to live in the realization that He has made a difference in our life. He has made a difference in our earthly lives. So the theme of Psalm 124 is the gracious and merciful intervention of God in our lives. The gracious and merciful hand of God in our lives that has made a difference. The theme is that God has demonstrated His gracious and merciful power in our life. The idea presented in the psalm is, what if God had not intervened in our lives? And we twice see that word, if. It's a supposition. What if God just left us alone? What if God did not intervene in our lives? That's something to think about. And that thought ought to prepare us for worship. So I want to speak on God's merciful intervention, a motive for worship. When we think about all the ways that God has intervened in our lives, that ought to motivate you to worship the Lord. What if God hadn't? Where would we be? What would we be doing? So view these words, first of all, in their context relating to Israel. Again, verse 1, the subject matter is stated. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then we read, "Now may Israel say," which is the equivalent of saying altogether now. So the subject is introduced. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then they say, "All together now." And they sing. They sing verses 2 through verse 8. If it had not been for the Lord, the children of Israel would have been destroyed. No doubt about that. They had a host of enemies that rose up against them on many, many different occasions. And the purpose of these enemies was to destroy them. And they would have, had it not been for the Lord. You think about Pharaoh. You think about the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Philistines, the Syrians, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Moabites, the Assyrians, the Edomites, and many more. All of these were sworn enemies to the people of Israel. And they were all filled with hatred. They were all filled with bitterness and animosity and wrath toward Israel. And every one of them was bent on Israel's destruction. And when these enemies of Israel rose up against them, many times they were more powerful. And many times there was no other help. And utter and complete ruin would have been theirs had it not been for the Lord. Israel knew that. And the design of the psalm is to think about that, to reflect upon that, to prepare your heart to worship. The enemies, their purpose was to destroy Israel. And they had a plan to overthrow and prevent them as a people. But as diligent as the enemies were, God was more diligent. We read in Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber or sleep." The enemy was diligent, but not as diligent as God. The psalm reads again, "If it had not been for the Lord," and then notice, when? That is, during such time when men rose up against us. And then the next word is then. That is, at that time. They had swallowed us up quick. They had swallowed us up alive. When? During such time, their wrath was kindled against us. Then, at that time, the proud waters had gone over our soul. So if it had not been for the Lord, who was on their side, the purpose of the enemies would have been fulfilled. The enemies would have succeeded against them were it not for the Lord. The purpose of all those who hated Israel, and there were many, as there are still today, the purpose would have succeeded. There's only one reason it didn't, and that was the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, they would have perished at the Red Sea. Truth is, if it weren't for the Lord, they wouldn't have even got to the Red Sea. But they would have perished. If it wasn't for the Lord, they would have perished with thirst and hunger in the wilderness. If it wasn't for the Lord, they would have been destroyed by the various captivities, Babylonian and Assyrian captivity. If it wasn't for the Lord, Pharaoh would have killed Moses. David would have been killed by Saul. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have been consumed in the fiery furnace. Daniel would have been killed by the lions were it not for the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, they would have been swallowed up time and time again by the wicked. And we see that in verse 3. Then they had swallowed us up quick. Were it not for the Lord, that would have happened. If it had not been the Lord, they would have been engulfed. Verses 4 and verse 5. And if it were not for the Lord, in verse 6, they would have been caught. And in verse 7, they would have been trapped. But none of those things happened. And the reason is the Lord. And you get to the end of the psalm and they can sing, our soul is escaped. Not because of anything they did, but because of the Lord. Our soul is escaped and the snare is broken. But what if it were not for the Lord? What if the Lord had not intervened in their lives? Then they would have been swallowed. They would have been engulfed. They would have been caught. They would have been trapped. They would have been destroyed. But they had reason to worship God, because God had intervened in their life over and over and over again. So Israel was to reflect upon these things as they made their way to the house of God with their sacrifices and with their offerings. They are to reflect upon, if it had not been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, we would not be on our way to the house of God. Were it not for the Lord, we would not be on our way to the house of God with our sacrifices and with our offerings. And we need to think about that. We need to reflect upon that. So that was the design of the psalm for Israel. But consider the psalm as it relates to you and I. In verses 2 through 5, there's basically a call to affirm that God has made a difference in our life. And it goes out by way of supposition. Again, indicated by the word if. And then he uses imagery to highlight the difference. He uses the imagery of wild animals. He uses the imagery of floods and so on. Verse 6 and 7, there is a call to praise God for His protection. And then verse 8 basically is a summation of the psalm, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you really reflect upon, if it had not been for the Lord in my life, the conclusion of that is, my help is in the Lord. He's helped me up to this point. It would make good sense to trust Him the rest of the way. So the dangerous possibilities that were mentioned are swallowed in verse 3, engulfed, caught, trapped. And the reason none of these were so is the Lord, if it had not been the Lord. So view those words as they relate to salvation. Think of the fact that we were in bondage to sin. We were trapped in sin. We were held in sin. We were in the chains of sin. We were in the depths of unrighteousness. We were in the depths of defilement. We were in the depths of guilt. We were under the condemnation of the Lord. We lived in the mire of the vileness and the filth of sin. We lived in darkness. We were helpless. And we lived in these things. We walked in these things. This is how our life was defined. And the sin and the darkness had power in our lives, had control of our lives. And if it had not been for the Lord, we would still be held in sin. It's true of every single one of us that are saved. If it had not been the Lord, too many times man is given credit for which man does not deserve credit. Oh, if it wasn't for brother so-and-so, I don't know. Be careful. You're on the verge of blasphemy. If it had not been for the Lord, He is to get all the glory. He is to get all the honor. The truth is, if it were not for the Lord, we'd still be in bondage. We'd still be in the shackles of sin. We would still be trapped. We'd still be held by sin. And who knows what our life would be like if all these years we'd still been trapped in sin. You can get a pretty good idea what your life would have been like by just looking around. But the Lord intervened. And were it not for God, I'd have never been delivered. I'd have never been rescued. I would have never been liberated from the bondage that I was in. My soul has escaped. It's all because of Him. That ought to motivate us to worship the Lord. When we come to the house of God, if your mind is not right, you need to get it right. And the way to do that is to think upon God saving your soul. What if He had left you there? Where would you be today? The truth is, if it were not for the Lord, we would have never seen our need of a Savior. Sometimes you listen to people that talk who've been sitting in church all their lives, and I wonder, have they heard a thing? Have they heard anything? And they make such foolish, heretical statements when it comes to salvation. Well, I don't understand why they just can't see their need. Again, have you heard anything? You would have never saw your need were it not for the Lord. And they're not going to see their need unless God intervenes. I would have never, ever believed savingly were it not for the Lord. I would have never repented. I would have never come were it not for the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, we'd still be in the ditch. We would still be in the hog pen. Still destitute. Still bankrupt and fully exposed to the law and to the justice and the wrath of God. Were it not for the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, we'd still be condemned. We'd still be facing everlasting destruction. We'd still be on that road leading to destruction. Still on our way to an eternity in hell. And I would have never known the joys of salvation were it not for the Lord. Would have never known anything about the goodness of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the blessings of God were it not for the Lord. I mean, look at lost man today. They are oblivious to God. They are absolutely oblivious to God. And so we would still be, were it not for the Lord. And oh, what joy and gratitude and praise ought to fill our hearts when we reflect upon that, and as we come to worship Him. Again, we need to reflect upon these things as we come to worship. You view these words, if it had not been the Lord, in relation to your entire life. Not just salvation, but even a lost sinner ought to reflect upon this fact. If it had not been for the Lord, your life would be different. As bad as your life might be, it'd be worse were it not for the Lord. And you and I, like Israel, we live in the presence of malicious enemies. Talking about you and I that are saved. People that are bent upon our destruction. There have been people who have crossed our paths in our life that would have done anything to destroy us. But they haven't. And it's because of the Lord. And we have many enemies, but we have no idea just how numerous they are. We have no idea of how powerful and malicious and wicked demonic forces bent on our destruction. But know this, were it not for the Lord, you'd have been destroyed a long time ago. You'd have been destroyed from the womb. Were it not for the Lord, the devil and his demonic forces would have completely devoured us. Were it not for the Lord, we would have been devoured by the sinful and the wicked and corrupt and twisted, depraved flesh. Were it not for the Lord, our flesh is wicked. And our flesh will destroy us. And it would have, were it not for the Lord. You and I are capable of anything that anyone else is capable of, fleshly speaking. But we haven't done some of the things that others have done. Does that make us better than them? No. Means the Lord has intervened in our lives. We're not for the Lord. People say, well, I was raised right. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's been raised right, but they didn't turn out right. Give the Lord the glory. He's the one that deserves the glory. As we look around today, there are ruins, wrecked lives everywhere you turn. And you and I would be part of such were it not for the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, that would be us. You think of the many times that we have rebelled against God, rebelled against His ways, rebelled against His will. And had it not been for the Lord's mercy, how far would we have gone in that rebellion? Why didn't we go all the way in our rebellion against God? When you've had a day, and in that day you rebelled against God, you did it your way instead of God's way, how come you didn't go all the way? The Lord intervened. The Lord kept us from going all the way. You think of all the many times that you rebelled against God and God stepped in. Where would you be if He hadn't? You think of the times that we have failed to resist the suggestions of the devil, of Satan. Satan is always there to make suggestions. And we have not always resisted Satan's suggestions. How many times our sinful flesh, our human reasoning, has made suggestions to us, and we didn't resist. We failed. But why didn't the Lord let us, why didn't we go all the way? Many have. Were it not for the Lord, where would we be? If, and this is quite a stretch, if you've only failed one time in your life to resist the suggestions of Satan, that one time is enough to destroy your entire life. One time. But none of us are so foolish to think that there's only been one time. We're doing good if there's been only one time in a day, let alone a lifetime. Think of the many times that we have willfully and stubbornly followed the flesh. We knew better. We did it anyway. And if it had not been for the Lord, how far we might have gone. Where we might have ended up. I mean, you follow your flesh, you can end up in some terrible places. Places that ruin your life. And we would have done that many, many times were it not for the Lord. Think of the times that we would have followed the flesh. Not just the times that when we did follow the flesh, but think of the times that we would have. And God stepped in and didn't let us. How many times has God done that in our life? God intervenes and says, no, you're not going to do that. Not happening. Had God not stopped us from what we would have done, where would we be? Where would we be? You think of the times that we have yielded to temptation. If it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? It only takes one time to yield to temptation to destroy your life. One time. And you think of all the temptations that we have yielded to throughout our lifetime. Where would we be? Were it not for the Lord. Think of the temptation we would have fallen into. Think of all the temptations that God has prevented from coming our way. There are things that you and I are not tempted to do. I've never been tempted to rob a bank. Never been tempted to do that. But that's of God. And that's true of all of us. There's certain things we've just never been tempted to do. That's not because of us. That's because of the Lord. You think of the times that we have wandered from the Lord. Think of all the times you've wandered from the Lord in your thoughts. It only takes one time to ruin your life. and you think of all the times you've wandered from the Lord in your thoughts, you think of all the times that you've wandered from the Lord in your deeds, and if it had not been for the Lord, how far we might have wandered. How far we might have wandered. How far our wandering might have taken us had it not been for the Lord. Again, think of the times we would have wandered. But God said, no, you're not going to do that. He intervened. Think of all the mistakes that you've made in your life. Think of all the mistakes. And the ones you can think of, then think of all the ones you don't even know about. That's probably more than the ones you can think about. All the mistakes. Think of all the wrong and all the foolish things that we've done. And if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be? Again, these are things that we ought to reflect upon. Think of the mistakes we would have made, but God prevented us from making it. Think of the wrong we would have done, but God prevented us from doing it. Think of all our self-centered attitudes, where they might have taken us were it not for the Lord. You think of all our self-interest and where it could have taken us were it not for the Lord. Our attitudes at times of defiance, those attitudes can destroy you. They can ruin your life. They can destroy your family. When you think about the attitudes and times of defiance, were it not for the Lord, where would we be? You think of all the attitudes of pride, where would we be? Were it not for the Lord. The attitudes of self-righteousness, where would we be? Were it not for the Lord. Since we have been saved, there have been trials, there have been difficulties, there have been obstacles. There have been many battles, many struggles. There have been many heavy and continuous burdens. There have been disappointments and sorrows and heartaches. And there have been wounds. And were it not for the Lord, those things would have swallowed us up a long time ago. Would have destroyed us a long time ago. And that's why it's just wise. Again, verse 8 is kind of a summation. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The very moment you're tempted, you need to pray, Lord, help me. The very moment you start trying to figure something out, you'd better stop and pray, Lord, help me. I can ruin my life right here. I can destroy the life of someone else right here. Need your help. We need to live realizing that if it weren't for the Lord, we would have been destroyed a long time ago. Would have destroyed our families a long time ago. There have been Red Seas. There have been Jordan Rivers. There have been Goliaths. There have been dried up brooks. There have been storms. And in spite of all of those things, here we are. Here we are in the house of God. That ought to cause us, that ought to motivate us to worship the Lord. If it were not for the Lord, oh, where we would be. where our lives would be. So think of what if God had not intervened. You think of times when you've been so angry and thoughts go through your mind, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But you didn't. God intervened. What if he hadn't? What if God had not intervened? This is true of every one of us, what I'm about to say. Every one of us at one time or another in our life would have destroyed one of the Lord's churches had we been left to ourselves. We destroyed it. So what if God had not intervened? We have realization today that God has made a difference in our lives. And when you drive down the road and you see people, I mean, their lives are wrecked. It's pitiful. And the powerful thing is to get angry or self-righteous. But the spiritual thing is to thank God. Because we'd be the same way. And we could be the same way at any point, just like that, were it not for the Lord. So there ought to be a deep, unselfish, entire devotion to God. Simply because of what he's done in our lives. Truth is that that ought to be so just because of who he is. We ought to be excited to serve him. We ought to be surrendered without reservation, without the least resistance. How many times he saved our life? We ought to surrender to him. We ought to desire him. We ought to embrace him. We ought to open our lives up to him and center our lives around him. So the very thought of Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord, ought to fill us with humility, ought to fill us with gratefulness, ought to fill us with love, and ought to cause us to bow down with reverence, declaring the greatness of God in our lives, and honoring him and praising him. So the supposition, were it not for the Lord, ought to motivate us to worship the Lord. We preached a series of messages on worship, and I know those messages were discouraging to many, and they ought to be. They were discouraging to me because we come to the realization that it's almost to the point where we can't worship God. Can't. And many can't. Many can't. They're in no condition to worship the Lord. So we need to reflect on the right things. If on your way to church you reflect on how someone mistreated you, you're not going to worship. It's not going to happen. That's not what you reflect upon. You got to reflect upon the Lord, what he's done in our lives. And again, that ought to motivate us to worship the Lord. We ought to get excited coming to the house of God. I believe this with all my heart. Some will disagree, but I believe you're wrong. The times And I know there's exceptions. You can tell much about a spirituality of a people and how soon they get to the house of God and how quick they leave. You can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about the spirituality of a church. You can tell a lot. You can just tell it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. We ought to be excited to come to the house of God to worship. Now, again, I realize there's exceptions, people that have to work. I understand those things. But we ought to be excited to come to the house of the Lord. We ought to be excited to worship Him. We ought to be ready to worship the Lord. He's been good to us. He's never not been good to us. Never has there been a moment when God has not been good to me. Never. It's true of you as well. He's always good because He is goodness. And we ought to worship Him. We ought to be motivated to worship Him for that very reason. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.